Please turn with me tonight to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm reading verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Just one verse before us tonight. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, my title tonight is The Battle of the Mind. The battle of the mind. There is a battle going on in your mind and in my mind. That's why we need to protect our minds. And I will do, by the help of the Lord, my best to explain that. But you see, in verse 13, Peter starts by saying, wherefore? Wherefore? See it for yourself. As Peter moves from doctrine to application. You know, this is very relevant to us. And you have here a pattern you find in the Word of God. You have doctrine and you have application. And if you go through 1 Peter, the 12 first verses, you find a lot of doctrines. Grace, peace, election, Trinity in verse 3, it's all there. The verse 2 and 3, the triune God is represented there. You find abundant mercy, lively hope, incorruptible inheritance, kept, the believers are kept. These are all doctrines. And you find great joy, precious faith, unspeakable joy. And you also find salvation of our souls. And this salvation has been prophesied by many, many prophets in the Old Testament. And as we have said in our last Bible study, they prophesied for us. All the things they have written, all the studies, most of things they have written, they didn't understand them the way we understand them today. It was for us. Great salvation. But this salvation was not only prophesied, it was also coveted by the angels. You know, in verse 9 and 10 and 11, you can see angels stretch out their necks. They coveted this precious salvation which is given to us. But they were told it's not for them, but it is for us, for repenting sinners. There is no repentance for an angel, but for us. There is repentance. And angels only rejoice when one sinner comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why after explaining doctrines in verse 13, Peter now comes to application. And I'm anticipating, but later you can check the rest of the chapter for yourself. He will speak about the mind. He will speak about obedience. He will speak about holiness. He will speak about the fear of God. He will speak about the redemptive price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not saved by money. We are not saved by silver. We are not saved by gold. We are not saved by traditions. And later he will speak about the Word of God. Then he will close by saying, we believers must love one another. So I'm just anticipating all these things are in the application part. And tonight he speaks about the mind, the battle of the mind. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm sure you heard some preachers saying these things. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter how you behave. God loves you anyway. And he will gladly welcome you. What a disaster. A big lie. It is not in the Bible. Nowhere it says, once you are saved, you are free to live as you want. My dear brothers and sisters, salvation comes with a sense of indebtedness. Salvation comes with a sense of duty and obligations. That's why grace is not opposed to effort. Actually, may I say something? It's salvation by good works that is opposed to efforts. They speak about good works, but actually their kind of good works are slavish good works, servile good works. But grace makes you to do good works. You know why? Because you are a happy slave. You are a joyful slave. You have been redeemed. And Ephesians 2 verse 10, we don't have time to turn to the passage, but it says that the good works you and me are doing, because we are saved by grace through faith, not by good works, so that no man can boast, God has prepared them for us to do them, that we may walk in them. So salvation comes with indebtedness. Grace is not opposed to effort. So for 12 verses, as I said, Peter is explaining what grace has done for us, what mercy has done for us, what peace has done for us, what the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered for us, but risen from the dead. Wherefore, he says in verse 13, you see that inferential conjunction. Wherefore, because of what God has done for us, we must do something. So I have three very simple points. I will mention them. The first one, they are all related to the mind. The first one, it's all in verse 13. As I keep telling, I don't invent anything. It's in the text. The first thing we need in order to fight the battle of the mind, we need to have prepared minds. That's the first. The second one, we need serious minds, serious, sober minds. And the third one, focused minds. So, first one, Peter says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And actually, the Greek text goes this way. It's not a command there in the Greek text. There is a participle. It says, having girded up the loins of your mind. It is a consequence, the repercussion of our salvation. Our minds now are girded up already. It's not something you do later. It comes with salvation. But you continuously do it, having girded up the loins of our minds. My dear brothers and sisters, can I translate? I know it comes with a beautiful, vivid, lively metaphor. But it is the same. We don't have time to turn to the verses again, but in Job 38, Job 40, you know what God said to Job? Be a man. I was inclined to title my subject tonight, Be a Man. But I thought, if I say be a man, women wouldn't feel a part of it. But you know what I mean. Be a man. Be mature. That's the meaning. So when he says, gird up the loins of your mind, it means be a mature believer, be a mature man, be a mature woman. The same is said to Jeremiah 1 verse 17. God says to him, gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. So God is saying to Jeremiah, gird up the loins of your mind. Wake up. Be a man, a real man, a strong man, a mature man. Of course, we are not speaking about biceps or bodybuilding. We are speaking about spiritual muscles here. Be a man. So that's what Peter is exhorting us. And actually, Paul will say the same. He said, in understanding, be men. But when it comes to sin, when it comes to flippant things, when it comes to shallow matters, he said, be children. Means run away from these things. But in understanding, we are to be men. My dear brothers and sisters, God is not against the mind. And I'm sure if you do any outreach, speaking with non-believers in the street, many of them will say, oh, you have been brainwashed. You Christians, you stop thinking. But you see, Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. So God is not against us thinking. God is not against us reasoning. God is not against us using our minds. It could be intellectual, it could be spiritual, it could be emotional. God is not against that. And I'm sure you know the command, the first command the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. He said, ye shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. With all your mind. And Paul will say the same to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Speaking about the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sentiment of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see, Bible has a lot to tell us about the mind. My dear brothers and sisters, behind every action, there is a thought. Your actions are actually the printout of your mind. Our feelings are shaped by our minds. Why? Because the mind is the control tower. That's where all the decisions, the choices, that's why we keep on saying love is not a feeling, it is a choice. A choice made in the mind. So God is not against us using our minds. Before conversion, Bible says our minds were fleshly. They were carnal. They were natural. We thought only about what we see on this earth. There is nothing else. But the Bible says also, before conversion, oh, if I can speak to you, to describe to you, if you have never come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I know this is a Bible study where we expound the word, but if you have never come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Bible says you have a vain mind, vanity, futile, purposeless, meaningless, inadequate mind. That's really the meaning, which means like the rich fool, In Luke chapter 12, he only spoke to his soul about the here and now. You live only for earthly matters. What a disaster. It is a tragedy when somebody lives just for the ephemeral, the terrestrial. Things that are transient, they will pass away. Here today, gone tomorrow. But the Bible says also in Titus 1 verse 15 that without conversion we have defiled minds, corrupted minds, polluted minds. Sin has polluted us deep down in our mind. So we are not able really to think about great things, things that are eternal, heavenly. But we only see what our eyes see. We are spiritually short-sighted. But then Bible speaks also about our mind by saying if we remain in our unconverted state, Romans chapter 1, I'm sure you know the passage, three times in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, verse 26, verse 28, there is a leitmotif in those three verses. God gave them up. God gave them up. God will speak to you. He will speak to your conscience. He will warn you. You will hear the word of God. The word of God will reason with you, remonstrate with you. But you will be hardened and hardened and hardened. And you will be like Pharaoh. And finally, God says, I gave you up. I gave you up. Your conscience will not pang you anymore. And there is no more hope for such a person. Oh, it is a disaster. Do you live only with a fleshly mind? Do you live only with a carnal mind? Do you live with a vain mind, a defiled mind, a reprobate mind? But even sometimes when we are converted, it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Bible says that we can have a feeble mind, feeble-minded people. We can be so. We are not men. We are not mature. But my dear brothers and sisters, the new birth, the new birth. When somebody is converted, I still remember that day when I was crushed, you know, I was humbled to the dust, and I could see how God is great, God is holy, and I'm dust of dust. And a new birth comes with a new heart. And the new heart comes with a new mind. And now you see, the new mind is furnished with spiritual and heavenly things. My dear brothers and sisters, this new mind needs to be kept busy serving God, not serving self. Why? Because before your conversion, you and me, we served King Me. That's all. We were the center of the world. Nothing else counts. But now with conversion, the new mind is busy serving God. I hope this is your philosophy. That's the motto of your life. Busy serving the Lord with your new mind. That's what we read everywhere in the Word of God. Idleness, laziness, to be sluggard leads only to nonchalance. It leads to complacency and it leads to negligence. My dear brothers and sisters, we live in a world that has so many thorns. It has many dangers. This world has so many deceits. That's why Peter could say, gird up the loins of your mind. It is hard to run when somebody has a dress on. Remember, I wouldn't give you any even hint about oriental clothing description, but I'm sure they didn't have jeans and t-shirts, definitely. But Peter here says, gird up the loins of your mind, meaning be agile. Prepare yourself for action, for activity and effort. That's the meaning. You cannot run a race with a rope. It's impossible. And you have to put your belt, your seat belt, and be prepared for action. I believe that's the meaning behind. So be ready. Roll up the spiritual sleeves of your mind to be productive and to be reproductive also. Not just once, but to carry on. My dear brothers and sisters, we are in a war. We keep saying to believers, from the day of your conversion, you see, you heard that many times, I'm sure. From the day of our conversion, God did not save us to put us in a waiting room. Straight away, as soon as you are converted, you are put in a battlefield. And I can tell you, the devil will not have mercy on you. And actually, there will never be ceasefire. You know, the preachers, they tell you that. That when a Christian is asleep, Satan walks on his toes not to wake him up. So we always have to be awakened, fully awakened. What I'm explaining is in that expression, gird up the loins of your mind. Prepare your mind for action. You are in a war. You are in the journey of faith. You are in a pilgrimage. And you know, and I know, that an ungirded mind will soon be leaking like a sieve. I don't know anything about boats, but in my small mind, I think the smallest leak in a boat on the water for long, as time goes, the boat will sink. So that's why we need to gird up the loins of our minds. Prepare your mind into action. Now, I'm reading your minds. You are telling us these things, but be practical. Now, all our failures, or when we succumb to different temptations, our backsliding, our discouragement, when we are downcast, you know why these things are happening? It's because we have not girded up the loins of our minds. So I want to give you 8 things to help in girding up the loins of our minds. And the first one, very simple. I glean them from the Word of God, not from anywhere else. I wish I have time to show you on each one a verse in the Word of God. But the first one is neglecting your spiritual duties ungirds your mind. That's the first thing. What are these spiritual duties? And the first one is reading the Word of God. The second is prayer. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, prayer is like breathing for a believer. You stop breathing, you die. You stop praying, you die spiritually. The third one is fellowship. Fellowship in the church. Please, I keep saying, when we speak about fellowship, it is in relation to the church. It's not to have coffee somewhere else and cake. It's about fellowship in the church in service of the Lord. I challenge anyone to show me the word fellowship in the Bible where it is not in relation to the church and service. The fourth one, witnessing. Witnessing, service, serving the Lord. The fifth one, discipline. Discipline. Discipline in attendance. Discipline in self-controlling our own life. The sixth one is holiness. To live a holy life. Hebrews 12 verse 14. Without holiness no man shall see God. The seventh one is about redeeming the time. I could carry on. But you see, neglecting these things. Neglecting the prayer meeting every Monday. 7:30, this is said every week. Neglecting the Bible study, the midweek meeting. All these things make your mind to be girded up, to be ready for action. A soldier must train himself daily, otherwise he would never be able to war or to battle. So that's the first thing, to ungird yourself. Then neglect your spiritual duties. But if you put on those spiritual duties, you are able to gird up the loins of your mind. The second is watch what goes in. If I may say, the mind has gates. What are these gates? I can say the gates of the mind are actually our five senses, but maybe this is too unpractical. But there are two main gates which we all have to watch every day. Our ears and our eyes. You read in the Bible so many times, we have to be very careful and watch what comes in and what goes out from our lives. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul will say, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, every thought must be brought under the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, you know why the flood came upon this world? I'm sure you know. In Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, God saw that every thought and imagination of man is wicked. That's just a few years or a few centuries after the creation. If our imagination and thoughts were evil, let's say 4,000 or 6,000 years ago, what about today? So we need to watch what goes into what we watch and what we listen to. That will help us really to gird up the loins of our minds. Filter and purify your thoughts. That's so important for a believer. If your thoughts are to be read now, or you can read my thoughts, will I greet you again? If your neighbor knows your thoughts, will he say, actually they hardly say hello already, but if they know our thoughts, many of them will run away from us. But that's why, gird up the loins of your mind. Be watchful what you listen to, and what you watch. The third one, bad association corrupts. You don't need me to tell you this, really. It's in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Bad company, bad association corrupts good communication. Tell me who are your friends, I will tell you who you are. He who walks among the wise shall be wise. He who walks among the fools, Bible says, shall be destroyed. Read Psalm 1 again, verse 1. Blessed is the man who does what or who does not what? Oh, my dear friends, don't flirt with the world. The world is a mirage. The world promises many things and gives nothing. So that's why, as a believer, don't fetch your joy, your comfort, your peace in anything from the world. But we fetch our joy, our comfort in the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit in prayer, in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth one, keep your spiritual resolutions. My dear brothers and sisters, no, there is no addiction. There is no temptation we cannot overcome if we plan. It's in Romans chapter 7. The great apostle Paul had to plan. He had to prioritize. And when you read Romans chapter 7, Paul said, I will do this, I will not do this. This is a man who is determined every day. He will keep his spiritual resolutions. He will have determination in order to overcome, in order to win over his weaknesses. Because there is no, a believer should never hide under, oh, this is my character, or this is my weakness. No temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation have come supernaturally. All the temptation we face, every man faced them. But God said he will give us a way if we yield our lives unto him and fight with him. Do good works and maintain good works. The fifth one is gird up the loins of your mind with the truth. John chapter 17, verse 17. Pastor spoke on that verse on Sunday. Sanctify them with thy word or by thy word. Thy word is truth. So how can I fight sin? How can I overcome sin? How can I overcome my weakness? How can I overcome my addiction? How can I overcome my anger? The word of God will help you. Paul says the same when he speaks about the spiritual armor in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. So gird up the loins of your mind with the truth of the word of God. Thy word I have hid in my heart, David says, that I may not sin against thee. The sixth one, my dear brothers and sisters, I believe this one is so important. Don't be paralyzed by your past. Don't live with an unforgiving spirit built up. You build up an unforgiving spirit. You know why? Unforgiveness, a person who is unforgiven actually is more concerned about himself. That's why we do not forgive. Do not let negative thoughts. I know, I'm saying this to myself. It is easier to remember the bad things than the good ones. We are human, and I'm sure you know people, you have done 1,000 goods to them, but one mistake, all the good is forgotten. That shows our fallen nature again, my dear brothers and sisters. But don't let those bad thoughts cripple your progress or paralyze your progress. Unforgiven spirit is wicked. Christ said, if you do not forgive to others, your Father in heaven will also not not forgive you. You see, some of us, we turn over and over. This man or this woman has hurted me or has mistreated me. I'm fixed. My idea is fixed. I will never change my mind. I will never forgive. A believer should never say such thing. Never. Otherwise, your mind is unguarded and the Lord will not hear your prayers. Reject those thoughts. The seventh, impress on your mind to live a godly life and a life of service. Remember what I said from the beginning? Grace is not opposed to effort. We are indebted and we need to have a sense of duty and obligations. So that's why feed and your mind and store in your mind wholesome things and spiritual promises in your mind. I'm sure you know the passage, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. That's the only place in the Bible where you find that word. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any excellence, if there be any praise, something to praise God for, and the command is, think on these things. You see the mind again? And finally, the eighth one, don't always speak your mind. I wish I thought before I said that. Did it happen to you? It happened to me. I wish I never heard that. I wish I have never seen that. It happened to all of us. But please, don't get on board with every subject. Some people, they are everywhere. Politics, they are there. Football, they are there. Sport, they are there. Theology, they are there. Every subject, they know everything. Everything. But don't speak your mind always. A lady came to John Wesley and she said to him, my talent is to speak my mind. And John Wesley said to her, actually, this is one talent God won't object if you bury it. So don't always speak your mind. Think before. In English, they say think twice. So, I wish I can recapitulate these eight things, but we have to go to our second heading. Our first one, prepare your mind. And the second one, have a serious mind, serious in your mind. And Peter says in verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Be sober, be diligent. Be vigilant, be sober, not somber. Be sober, not sad. Some people, they think when if you wear a sad face, that makes you to be spiritual. No, we shouldn't confuse soberness and sadness. The two are very different. And actually, three times, Peter says, be sober. Here, in chapter 4 and in chapter 5. Three times, be sober, be sober. To be sober is a companion to holiness. Stability, availability, reliability, these are key words to soberness. My dear friends, I'm sure you know, this world is not sober. There is no soberness in this world. What does the world say? You want to be a pig? You want to be a swine? Be a swine. You want to be a dog? Be a dog. But you see, you can give a human name to an animal, but he will still remain an animal. That's the reality. This world gives credit to what funny man, people who are telling jokes, You know, the word in English, to be amused, the word amuse means without thinking. So next time you hear somebody telling you, I'm going for amusement, this is without thinking. Instead of us being amused, we should be amazed. We should be amazed that God loves us, that there is a Savior, God, man, who came from heaven to earth to die that indescribable death on the cross of Calvary for a wretched sinner like me. Oh, this should make me to be sober. Sober means to be self-controlled. It means to be moderate. My dear brothers and sisters, extremes are never healthy for a believer. Don't let this world lead you with a hook on your nose. Don't let it intoxicate you. Be sober means behave and hold your balance. Be serious about life, not trivial or careless. That is shallow life. Don't let your mind be inhibited by anything. My dear friends, we need the Holy Spirit. I don't need a stimulant. I don't need any stimulant. The world needs a fix. Always. That's why they smoke. That's why they drink and so on. No, we need the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. So that's what we need, to be sober. Don't be dizzy. Don't be drowsy. Have you forgotten that you are in a war? We are in a war. It's not time to sleep. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says verse 5, 6, and 7. We have no time to read those verses. But those who sleep, they sleep at night. But we are children of day. Wake up. That's the command we are given in the Word of God. We are to watch and to pray. It is not the time to indulge ourselves. My dear friends, don't rationalize sin. Don't rationalize evil. People do that, and it is not godly. The battle is not obtained effortless. Don't let even legitimate and pleasant things to distract you from serving the Lord. You know why we don't attend the prayer meeting while we can? I have to add that, while we can, because we are not sober. Why we don't attend the Bible study while we can? Because we are not sober and we do not prioritize. Why we do not attend the gospel service on Sunday evenings? Because we are not sober. That's the reason, really. So sober-mindedness is so important. A sloppy mind cannot concentrate. My dear brothers and sisters, Peter says, be serious about life. That's the meaning of being sober. Reflect, meditate, and apply what you read in the Word of God. And be sober about yourself. Don't have a high opinion about yourself. Before I close, we have the Holy Spirit with us. God is our Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. We have the Word of God. And guess what? Ephesians chapter 6, we have the full armor of God. I say to myself, I need to have a scripture for every thought. Every thought that comes, if I could, I will do it. Every thought that comes to my mind, I will find. I use the sword. The Word of God is a sword. And let me close by saying the third one. Be prepared. Prepare your mind. A prepared mind. The second, be serious about life. Serve the Lord. And the third one, have a focused mind. It's here in verse 13. Peter says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the perseverance of the saints. There is more grace to come. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back for his people. And actually, this is the only command in the verse. Gird up the loins of your mind was a participle. Be sober, a participle also. But hope to the end is a command, which means we are to hope and to keep our hope alive as believers. Hope is not a feeling, it is a fact. Hope is a fact. Keep it alive. Forgetting, Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind, we look forward, we press onward to the mark. We press on to the mark. That's what Paul says elsewhere. So, my dear brothers and sisters, hope to the end. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And our hope is based not on failing or falling things of this world. It is based on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, gird up the loins of your mind. First, be prepared. Prepare your mind to action. Second, be serious about life. And the third one, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. These three things will lead you to our next subject, obedience, holiness, and the fear of God. So may the Lord bless us together, and may He help us to put His word into practice. Let's close by singing our last hymn, hymn number 476. Hymn number 476.